The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Peter went up to Jesus and said, Lord, how often must I forgive my brother if he wrongs me? As often as seven times? Jesus answered, not seven, I tell you, but 77 times. And so the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who decided to settle his accounts with his servants. When the reckoning began, they brought him a man who owed 10,000 talents, but he had no means of paying. So his master gave orders that he should be sold, together with his wife and children and all their possessions, to meet his debt. At this, the servant threw himself down at his master's feet. Give me time, he said, and I will pay the whole sum. And the servant's master felt sorry for him, that he let him go and cancelled the debt. Now, as this servant went out, he happened to meet a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him by the throat and began to throttle him. Pay what you owe me. His fellow servant fell at his feet to implore him, saying, give me time and I will pay you. But the other would not agree. On the contrary, he had him thrown into prison till he should pay the debt. His fellow servants were deeply distressed when they saw what had happened, and they went to their master and reported the whole affair to him. Then the master sent for him. You wicked servant, he said. I cancelled all the debt of yours when you appealed to me. Were you not bound then to have pity on your fellow servant just as I had pity on you? And in his anger, the master handed him over to the torturers till he should pay all his debt. And that is how my heavenly Father will deal with you unless you each forgive your brother from your heart. Jesus had now finished what he wanted to say, and he left Galilee and came into the part of Judea, which is on the far side of the Jordan. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, let's be seated. So that's a pretty challenging gospel, isn't it? Jesus doesn't flinch to lay some pretty heavy, images in our minds. Have you heard that gospel before? Hands up if you've heard it before. Yeah? A few of you? Or you've heard the whole thing about 77 times? Yeah? What do you think it means? Because surely he's not saying count 77 times and then you're done. So what does Jesus mean in response to Peter? Sorry?
Forever.
Anyone else? Do you agree or disagree? You agree. So you should lose count forgiving people. Yeah? Okay. How do you feel about that? Like, does it make you feel good? Yeah, that's fair. We should just forgive everyone all the time forever. How does that make you feel? Does it make you feel anything? Is that how you want to live your life? Yeah, everyone who wronged me, that's okay. It's kind of unnatural, isn't it? Like, I think it's not a normal impulse. The normal impulse is like, you wronged me, well, I'll get even, you know? I'll make sure you know not to do that again. And in a sense, that's justice, but there's something wrong about it. There's something, at least, that Jesus is challenging. Jesus, by the way, believes in justice. Like, Jesus' mercy doesn't get rid of justice. But I think Jesus is probably telling us, none of us is the judge. We're the fellow workers. We're bound to forgive each other because Jesus has forgiven us in a profound way. Therefore, for us to try and assert ourselves over each other is going to sort of backfire horribly if we try and play out that script. There's a challenge here. I want to say something about forgiveness, though, because forgiveness isn't as easy as it seems. For one, we don't really contrive our feelings, do we? Like, when you feel hurt, you didn't necessarily plan to feel hurt. Someone did something, and it hurt you, and now you have to deal with that hurt. The natural thing is to kind of ricochet the hurt back at them. And forgiveness is not usually the natural thing. We have to cultivate forgiving hearts. I remember hearing a speaker who came to the seminary once. I don't know what his profession was, but he was saying some weird stuff to us. And one thing that he said was that forgiveness is a skill, right? Just like playing the piano or learning how to do a cartwheel or whatever. It's like you have to practice it 10,000 times. And on the 10,000th time, you're like, yeah, now it's in my muscles and my bones. I can do it blindfolded. But until then, like, who can play the piano well on their first attempt? Can you? Okay, well, God has blessed you very, very much. Usually, virtuosity needs cultivating, okay? So forgiveness is a skill and an art that we're going to have to practice 100 and 100 and 100 times over, 77 times, and lose count until we become masters of that skill, a very unique skill to use in the world. Donnie, the guy who visited, he also said that forgiveness has a way of teaching people maybe something they didn't see. And he gave the example of children and their parents, you know. And he says if a child is sort of, this is not a rule, but it was an analogy that he was giving. He said, like, if a child is disrespectful, let's say, to their parents, they mustn't have understood that there was love there. Like, they must have somehow not picked up that that reality. So what's the response? To love them more. But they're being disrespectful. Yeah, but they somehow need to encounter that there's a different whole thing at play. It's the dynamic of love. So our response to those who don't love us, strangely, has to be love, not lack of love. This is what Jesus is inviting us into. It's very challenging, really. Finally, I'd say forgiveness is a way of settling the score that's far easier than making sure we've actually paid each other back in total. Imagine how liberating it is for someone to continually say, like, you ever hear when someone does you a favor and they say, hey, I owe you one. And you say, no, don't worry about it. You know, don't even think about it. Don't give it a second thought. That's the dynamic of forgiveness. It's like goodness just keeps multiplying. It doesn't even out. It keeps going up and up and up and up. That's the kingdom of heaven. That's friendship with Jesus. That's the body of Christ that we're becoming. I want to say this, though, because the fact that we heard that reading against the backdrop of Joshua is curious. And I don't think it's a mistake. I think what the church is putting in front of us now is that if we become these masters of forgiveness, this reconciling love in our hearts, in our friendships, in our communities, everywhere, if that does take fruit, then the world will see in us people with whom God abides. Because listen to that story again with Joshua, right? Moses was a mediator for Israel. They counted on him because Moses was making God real to them in a way, you know? And when Moses left, they might have thought, well, now we don't have someone to do that. So Joshua, it says, Joshua gathered all the tribes and then the elders and the leaders and all the people all there. The Lord God says to Israel, in ancient days, where is it? I've lost the place. Anyway, in short, God says, oh, this is Friday, that's why. The Lord said to Joshua, this very day, listen to this, this very day I will begin to make you a great man in the eyes of Israel, to let them be sure that I am going to be with you even as I was with Moses. See, if we can do forgiveness right, the world will know and they'll be sure of it that God is with us, just like God was with the disciples, you know, who walked with Jesus. God was with the saints who were happy to forgive and even die in the process. God was with this ancient people on pilgrimage from ancient days long ago. If we can do that right, the world will sense that we're not alone here. Actually, someone very, very tremendous in love is going with us, and therefore our whole journey is going to be blessed in a beautiful and a wonderful way.